Hallelujah. Isaiah 59. We're going to get to part 3 of the Holy Spirit. I'm excited too, by the way. Isaiah 59, 13 through 21. I just thought in some ways this section of scriptures talked about right where we are as a nation right now. It says, offering and denying the Lord. We're talking about groups of people. This country is founded on Judeo-Christian principles, period. This country is great and has the light that it has around the world because of Jesus Christ. It is just the way it is. That's the truth. So when you see other people standing up and saying, no, it's a racist country or this or that, somebody has to stand up and say, wait a second, that's a lie. At that time, there was slavery around the world, including slavery where the people that were coming here from Africa. I'm not making little of what this nation has gone through, but what nation has ever been perfect? None. Thank God. What nation had 1 out of 8 of their people die to free people from slavery? America. I love America. I'm glad that I can stand up and freely express my religious beliefs and faith still. There's places already in the streets of America, if you do that, they'll shut you down, they'll kill you on the streets in America. So we got to be awake to that. Don't allow yourself, because I think one thing that's happened in church over maybe 20 or 30 years, it's like if we've got to just be a bless me club, and God does bless us. But sometimes the truth is hard. Sometimes it brings sorrow to the heart so that we can change. Amen? Amen. Isaiah, offended and denying the Lord and turning away from our God. There's people who have done that. Speaking oppression and revolt. That's what we're seeing right now. Conceiving and uttering lying words from the heart. Lie, lie, lies. If you're listening to regular news, it's lies. Why am I saying this? Because I want to speak the truth. I got to speak the truth. I know that God will preserve me and he'll preserve you if we walk in truth. If we're living in the light of the truth, amen? I love you. 14, it says, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street. These things that we see on the news and different things of what's going on, truth has stumbled in the streets. See, that's a deception by the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But see, it's a deception. It was a deception that's been being sowed in our nation for a couple generations now. We're seeing the fruit of that now. But thank God it's not too late. Let me continue reading. Truth is lacking. See, we need truth, don't we? We need to declare and walk in the truth. Truth is lacking. And one who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. I'm not going to make a cake for you because of my religious beliefs. Well, we'll try to put you in jail. That scripture is an example of that. Himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no one, and was amazed that there was not one to intercede. Then his own arm, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, then his own arm brought salvation to him. And his righteousness upheld him. Thank you. We can stand on his shoulders, his righteousness, and declare the truth. He put on righteousness like a breastplate. This is talking about what we read in Ephesians chapter 6. Where did Paul get this? Isaiah 59. And put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself with zeal as a cloak. We talked about last Wednesday, God has a great zeal for you and I. We talk about our zeal for him, but I'm telling you, it's based upon his zeal for you and me. He is zealous for me. He is jealous for me. He loves me. He is with me. He is for me and not against me, even in my struggles. He is zealous for this country. Let me say, he is still zealous for this people. But we have to stand up for truth. If you and I don't do it, who will? We have to intercede. Prayer works as well. He gives us a battle plan. If prayer doesn't work, why did Jesus say to Peter? He says, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But what was Jesus' next words? but I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And when you're restored, get back with your brothers. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for you and I, and he's interceding for this nation. Because he's still zealous for his people and for people to turn to the truth. See, the gospel's the truth. It's the truth that sets somebody free. Amen? Amen. 18, according to their deeds, so will he repay. Wrath to his adversaries, retribution to his enemies. To the coastlands, he will deal retribution. Some of the things that we've seen on the coastlands, it's just a product of reaping what you sow. Really? When you're more concerned about the environment than the unborn. Or if you say, we can't touch the forest because we worship Mother Earth, I'm sorry. And then we have fires that are raging out of control. It's just a product, much of what we're seeing in the nation. It's just reaping what we've sown. If you don't reap to the truth, what are we going to what are we going to, if we don't sow to the truth, what are we going to reap? I love this nation. How about you? So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. What's that wind? It's his Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your wind, the Holy Spirit blowing through this land with power and with truth. With truth. Amen, with truth. Father God, that you are the way, the truth, life. You set people free from sin. You set people free from bondage, from depression, from sickness. That's what the gospel does. Amen. It says a redeemer will come to Zion. That's just not talking about Israel. You and I are part of Zion. This country, just like Israel, with a covenant. Amen. With Abraham. I believe this nation was established with a covenant of Judeo-Christian principles. It was. Amen. You remember the Mayflower? Remember school? Why did they come over here? Why did they come over here? I love this scripture. This is a promise. And I take this for me and for my family and my children and my grandchildren. And it says, as for me, this is my covenant with them. This is the covenant with you and I, for believers, says the Lord. My spirit who is upon you, how many people have the spirit upon you and in you and through you? And my word which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth, listen, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. Keep speaking the truth and love to your children, your grandchildren. Keep speaking the truth to your family, the truth of God's love for them. It's the truth that sets people free. I got a promise there. It says that that truth is going to have an effect for my kids and my grandkids. It's going to happen. Regardless of what I see right now, this is, once again, these scriptures are in Isaiah 59, 13 through 21. These promises, the word of God is going to have an effect, an eternal effect on my kids and my grandkids. Amen. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. Bill, he doesn't have any of this, so don't worry. I sprung it on him. Here's the thing. We're talking about this battle, but the battle's already been won. I said the battle's already been won. We just have to walk in the victory. We have to walk in the truth. And when you were dead in your wrongdoings and the uncircumcision of your flesh, meaning you couldn't control the desires of the flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our wrongdoings. Isn't that awesome? Having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. Amen? The law, which was hostile to us. Following the law is hostile because your flesh can't do it. And has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers, this is awesome. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. He has already triumphed over the enemy. If the enemy can convince us, nope, you haven't. You're still struggling. This is going on, or whatever's going on in your life. The thing is to follow the truth. No, I may see this. This may be going on. But you're already a defeated foe. Your victory in this area of my life or this area of my family, those days are numbered. I don't know when, but the battle belongs to the Lord, and I am already victorious in Him. I'm already free in Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You've heard those songs, the battle belongs to the Lord. That sounds a little better. The victory is ours. So as we move on to the Holy Spirit, the thing that God has kept me on is it's the truth. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. The power of God has set me free already. I am a joint heir with Christ. His Holy Spirit is working powerfully in me. You know, what's that substance that they make nuclear bombs with? It's called plutonium, right? That's a powerful substance. But you know, that's nothing to the power that's within us by the Holy Spirit. It's nothing. I think if the enemy gets us in areas just to believe and not have confidence in what is working in us, that the victory is ours, that yes, I'm still struggling, but He still loves me, still smiles at me every morning, every night. Amen? When you know that, then that plutonium, the Spirit of God, becomes active in our lives. It becomes enriched. Yeah, it becomes enriched in me. And then it comes out in the different giftings, abilities. And the depression is driven far from me, far from my home. And in its place is peace and joy, harmony, strength. Amen? Amen. We're moving on. That was good stuff. Because it was the Word of God. Because it was truth. You can find this book. Alex McFarland. I don't know where you get this book or how this, but this is a good book, and well, on his website maybe, but you could probably just put his name in and get it anywhere, huh? I'm going to continue to read this book. So as he had personally talked with over 2,000 pastors, and most of them saying, I can't talk about the truth. Interesting, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, that everything that's happened the last few years has exposed a lot of darkness. See, things have to be brought to the light to drive darkness out. If light doesn't shine on darkness, darkness remains. Thank you for the light. The Holy Spirit, Acts 19:1-2, the New American Standard Version, Acts 19:1-2. Do you have that, Bill? Thank you, brother. Now, it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Verse 2, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, to Paul, on the contrary, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? They believed in Jesus. And if you're not born again, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't be His. We'll read that from Romans 8. But they said, yes, we had someone teach us about Jesus. We said a prayer with Jesus, but nobody told us about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit after you become a believer. We've never heard of the Holy Spirit. So there are many Christians that don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, and what they think they know simply might not even be true. Things that they've heard, things that people that have told them. They may say, don't go to that certain church because there's weirdness going on, or this or that. And maybe it's true, but maybe it's not. Because the truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit is going to seem weird and strange and contrary to the unbeliever. But that does not negate the truth that when you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. So, but also there are people who believe that if you haven't been baptized, and we'll talk about that at a point, in the Holy Spirit, that you aren't saved. Or if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Then what about Martin Luther in 1518 who started the Great Referendum, who didn't know anything about the power of the Holy Spirit? He only knew what he had been taught in the Catholic Church. and he had this revelation about being saved by grace. Was he not saved? Was he not born again? Absolutely had the Holy Spirit, because it was the Holy Spirit that revealed to him that you are saved by faith. So just understand that if just because somebody doesn't believe exactly the same way that you do about the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean they don't have the Holy Spirit. They may not have an understanding of what the Holy Spirit can do through an individual's life, but yet they still have the Holy Spirit. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Who draws an individual to the Holy to Jesus Christ, to faith in Jesus Christ? It's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit draws people. That's why I pray that every time that I'm up here, that people that don't know him will be drawn to his goodness, be drawn to his kindness, be drawn to him by the Holy Spirit. Because the fact is, if it's just me by me talking to try to convince anybody, it won't matter a hill of beans. It won't have an effect. But if it's the Holy Spirit that's drawing them, then there's an actual conversion. Somebody becomes born again. The Holy Spirit dwells in them and they're changed forever. Does that mean they may not have struggles? No, not at all. Because we do have an adversary. Then you become a disciple of Jesus Christ and you begin to learn and grow in him. Then you begin to understand his nature. Then the Holy Spirit begins to reveal who he is to you and I. Amen. Number one, you have the Holy Spirit by promise. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 in the New American Standard. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." So Jesus dying on a cross was hanging on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive what? The promise of the Spirit by faith. So we receive this Holy Spirit how? Through faith. As joint heirs with Christ. As children of Abraham, amen? Who here is a child of Abraham by adoption? I have my adoption papers in the Spirit. I always love to tell the story how my stepdad had adopted us and we got a new birth certificate. And I had to remember, I told you my sister tried to get information or a birth certificate, and so she put her biological dad's name on the paper to get information, and they sent her a letter back saying, "We don't have any record. We have no record of that." But when she sent in the information as her name or last name being Nanke, they said, "Oh yeah, we have that." See, all record of wrong, everything behind you when you come to Christ has been washed away. You have a new father, amen? That there is the truth. That's the truth. We're not an army. We do battle, but we're family. I don't call Father General. I call him Father. I don't call Jesus a lieutenant. Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't call me a corporal or a private. He calls me a son. And you a son or a daughter. Amen? We're family. Joint heirs with Christ. We receive his Spirit through faith. Number two, believers have the Holy Spirit. This is the absolute truth. Believers have the Holy Spirit. Unbelievers do not. Romans 8 and 9 says, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." Don't let the enemy try to convince you that you don't have the Spirit of God in you. If you believe in him as the Son of God, you have the Spirit by faith. Don't let the enemy lie to you that they tell you you don't have what you think. Oh, no, but on the contrary, I have much more than I realize. On the contrary, I have much more power than I understand. That's the truth. I have everything I need in Christ Jesus. Having that come forward and come out and display itself is 100% based upon what you believe. That's why we said it in this church before. What you believe is very important. I used to think, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in that and believe, you know, but I didn't realize that the things that I believed were what was holding me back from walking in his joy, walking in his strength, walking in his victory. becoming a new creation, my mind being renewed. Believe it. It only happens by believing the truth. Amen. How many truth believers do we have in here? It's a tough one to say. It can be, but this is the truth. When Charles Barkley says, hey, we're all children of God, it's not true. If that is the truth, then why would Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come from heaven and die on a cross? He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through him. You have to make a decision. Do I believe the truth, or do I not? Let me tell you, he loves you. How he loves you and I. That's why he came and lived that life on the earth for 33 and a half years. Lived a perfect life. Overcame every dart of the enemy. Amen. And then he was on that cross, shed all his blood. It said that spear, when they put that spear in his side, it said blood and water flowed out. Amen. Every bit of blood and water in his body coming out at the end. And then what's the last thing he said? It is finished. It is finished. And then the thieves on the right and left of him, one of them mocking him like the world does, mocking Jesus Christ. But there's others like the thief on the other side of him. It says, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And what did Jesus say to him? Today you'll be with me in paradise. He just believed. See, that's the opening, our faith. But it has to be faith in the truth. It has to be truth. See, there was a time where the things that we're battling in society right now were a given. The things with transgender or whatever. When I was younger, that wasn't even thought of, because people knew the truth that they, in the beginning, God made them male and female. That was the truth. But as people don't stand up for the truth, then lies begin to set in. Crazy lies. To where people don't not only will say abortion's okay, we can abort them right up to the time they're born. You have to be deceived and numb to the truth to think that's okay. See, as a born-again believer, somebody walking with Christ, we endeavor to walk in truth. See, there is absolute, I understand there's gray areas and things that we talk about as far as some principles of that people, you can talk about baptism or what water baptism is, or baptism in the Holy Spirit or not. There's little nuances and things of truth that churches may not agree on. But the truth of Jesus Christ being the only way to heaven is non-negotiable. If that becomes negotiable, then we have no truth. Non-negotiable is that also that we are saved by grace, putting our faith in him. It's not my works. It's putting my faith in a man that was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. That is non-negotiable. And there's certain things that when we talk about that God's, that we stand up for the truth, that God loves people. But there's still truth. There's still truth in sexual perversion. There's still truth regarding marriage. Those are truths. If we lose that, we have nothing, brothers and sisters. We have nothing. We have no foundation. The Holy Spirit's foundation are based upon truths that we can't back up from. We say them in love. There's people that don't want to hear it or whatever. I'm sorry, they're the truths. God loves you, but we have to make a decision. Will I walk in the truth? Do I believe in the truth? Will I consider the truth? I know many of you, most of you here, already know that. Amen? Number one, you have the Holy Spirit, I promise. Number two, believers have the Holy Spirit, unbelievers do not. Number three, you have an anointing. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. You have an anointing. John 2:26-27. There's an anointing in your life and on your life. Let's read this together. Verse 26 says, these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Boy, we don't have that going on right now, do we? Understand, there's many voices out there. understand that what you watch, there's voices that are trying to deceive you. Things that you hear, there are things that are trying to deceive you and I. We're living a day where deception runs rampant. I've talked about it before. Imposters. Imposters in the church. Imposters outside of the church. Imposters in politics, for sure. Promising freedom, but spewing lies. Anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian. I'm sorry, the truth is the truth. Oh, how he loves you and I. It's quiet in here today. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. And as for you, say you, that's you and me, the anointing which you received from him remains in you. Where's it at? Where's it at? It's in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about some things, all things, and is true. Amen. You can trust his Holy Spirit to lead you in truth. Amen. And is not a lie. And just as it has taught, and just as it has taught you, you remain in him. Now, it's not saying that we don't have any teachers or we don't have teachers. What it's saying is the Holy Spirit is in you. He teaches you. I can say something right now and it'll go to hearts 20 different ways, 30 different ways. The Holy Spirit is teaching you. Because if the Holy Spirit isn't teaching you, like I mentioned before, then I'm just up out here just spewing great ideas. I'm just saying things that don't matter. But if it's the truth from the Word of God, it'll be imparted into your heart and the Holy Spirit. You'll take it in by the Holy Spirit and apply it to your life. It'll be a seed planted in your new heart that God gave you, a soil of your heart. It'll grow up and produce fruit. His goodness will be produced in your life. It's true. Anointing, that means the word anointing, a special endowment of the Holy Spirit, things, gifts and things that God has given you. An endowment in you, amen? It means unction, fervor, inspiration, soothing or comforting. To smear or rub with oil. See, in the Old Testament, they would pour oil like over Aaron's head and onto his beard, down across his body. But see, now the anointing is not on the outside, it's in you. See, that oil, the Holy Spirit has rubbed his oil on the inside of you. It might be an oil of healing for your heart. I said it may be an oil of healing for your heart. It may be the oil may be produced, God breaking lies over your life that you believed. It could be things you believed since you were a child. Things that you just believed somebody taught you, things that were contrary to God's goodness. Things that are taught you that, no, God can't forgive you, or you could never forgive that person what they did to you. But God's anointing, the oil in you, allows you to do things, allows you to overcome traumas in your life that you could never do otherwise. He's a healer of traumas. He's the healer of our hearts. He drives that depression. But it's based upon truth. It has to be truth. The Holy Spirit isn't just a mist that comes in and everything's okay. He's the revealer of truth. And as we walk in that truth, as that understanding, that truth is revealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, it begins to change our lives. Hallelujah! It changes us. It changes us. Amen? God will do things that you've been waiting for decades, for something in your life to change, a healing, a resentment, a wound, something that makes you respond or triggers you when something comes up that you're triggered to act a certain way or go into sorrow or go into pain. But the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus Christ, he has the ability, if you allow him and believe the truth, to heal that. He's the great healer of our souls. He's the encourager of our lives. Amen? The comforter. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is the comforter. He's the deliverer in Jesus' name. He sets the captive free. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. We got how much? We got 45 more minutes? Thank God when my notes are done, I'm done. The fourth thing is, if you're a believer, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is a big one. This is powerful. This is powerful. 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 through 22. For as many as the promises of God are, and there are many saints, in Him they are yes. Can you say yes? Can I hear you say yes? They are yes. Therefore, through Him also is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us, we talked about that in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been sealed in you. It's a pledge. It actually is a pledge in your life. Amen. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, we get this thing with grieving the Holy Spirit, that every time we grieve Him, or maybe you were raised this way, that He's gone, He takes off. No, I'm glad that I have the Holy Spirit in me, that if there's something that needs a change, and I sense that grieving, He's not going anywhere. I'm sealed with Him. If there's something I need to change in my life, I want Him to reveal that. That grieving is the best friend you could have. I said, that grieving is the thing that'll keep you and change you and direct you and lead you and guide you. But what happens is people have been taught that if you have this grieving, that the Holy Spirit takes off. Then we have no confidence before God. No, this grieving is saying, hey, son, daughter, let me show you some truth. Let me show you something that needs to change in your life for the betterment of your life, so that you can walk in peace, so you can walk in my confidence. Look at the grieving of God as a good thing. Don't look at it as a bad thing. Thank God He loves us so much that the grieving of the Holy Spirit that directs us. Thank you, Father. I sense you wanting to make a change in my life. I sense you wanting to reveal some truth in an area of my life so I can grow up in you. So, Lord, I can get out of spiritual diapers. Lord, I can get out of spiritual, I don't know what the next step after diapers is, pull-ups. Lord, thank you that by the grieving of the Holy Spirit, it's going to put me in big boy pants. Amen? Doesn't everybody want to wear big boy or big girl pants? Well, He's good. Isn't He good to you? How He loves you and I. Man, that grieving thing is because He loves you and I so much. He's trying to say, hey, I got something better for you. I want to reveal a little bit more of myself to you. But religion, through the devil's, taught us that He's going to take off. No, because right after it says about the grieving of the Holy Spirit, it says, you're sealed in Him. Vacuum sealed. He ain't going nowhere. As many of you know, I spent 20 years struggling because I didn't know the truth. And even during that time, when I was haywire in many ways, He never left me. I thought He did. I prayed He wouldn't. But now in hindsight, when I know the truth of His love for me, He never left me. Even during all my struggles, He never leaves you or me. And when you have that confidence, that's when chains begin to break in Jesus' name. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed in Jesus' name. It's truth that sets the captive free through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the first truth to know is that He's never left you nor forsaken you if you believe in Him. He's calling you home. He's rooting for you. He loves you deeply. Amen. That's good stuff. You are sealed in the Holy Spirit. Number 5. Am I on number 5? I love this one. you're under a covenant pledge. You're under a covenant pledge. 2 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5 says, "For indeed, we who are in this tent," that's your body, groan, "being burdened." Because, why? Because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. We'll put on immortality. Someday we're going to have a perfect body. Someday we're going to be like Jesus. We're not going to deal with the struggles of this flesh. We're not going to deal with the struggles of other people's flesh. Amen? It's going to change. "Be clothed, but to, not to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal shall be swallowed up by life." Immortality, in other words. "Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge." We have the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed with it, but there's a purpose, not only empowering our lives that we'll talk about in the future, but it was given to you and I as a pledge of his love for us. It was given as a pledge that you belong to me. If Christ's sacrifice was so complete that he could live in me and give me a pledge to be with him for eternity, even in the middle of my struggles, even in the middle of the mess, the pledge that you belong to me. Amen? That's awesome news. See, pledge in the Greek means part of the purchase money given in advance as security. It's known as earnest. I'll explain that because I happen to know a lot about that. See, if you wrote a contract for something, say on a house, or you might put some earnest money down, a pledge. If you don't have any earnest, you don't have a contract. You got to put down an earnest. And in that contract, there's certain promises. There's certain promises. There's certain things that have to be followed. And see, God is the one that, he's the one that offered this covenant to you. It wasn't even our idea. It was God the Father's ideal. And it was executed through Jesus Christ, his Son, this covenant. But see, this covenant's much more than just a contract. It's not even a contract. See, a covenant is far more valuable than a contract. Here are some fundamental differences. While a contract is legally binding, a covenant actually is a spiritual agreement. You've seen that like at a marriage covenant, right? A contract is an agreement between parties, while a covenant is a pledge. A contract exchanges one good for another, while a covenant is giving oneself to another. He is giving himself to us through covenant. He's offered everything in Christ Jesus. All the promises are of God, and yes and amen are yours and I's because of the covenant, the new covenant he's offered us. He's offered to put you in a place as his son or daughter. He's offered to forgive you your sins. And if you'll say, "Yes, Lord, I'll enter in that covenant." This is how you enter into that covenant. "Yes, Lord, I believe that covenant was offered to me through the blood of Jesus Christ." That's how you do it. You can't keep that covenant by yourself anyway. How can we keep a covenant to act a certain way or to love God a certain way or to promise to be zealous or promise to be a good boy or good girl? It just does not work that way. See, he is zealous for you and I, amen? And because I know he's zealous for me, that zeal of his Spirit lives in me, and I can walk that out as he allows me to. I am in covenant to him because what he offered me, and I just have to say, "Lord, I believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and I enter into that covenant." And then all the promises, all the benefits of that covenant belong to me because he offered them. I didn't make it up that he says he heals the sick. It says it in his word. I didn't make it up that he'll forgive me of all my sins. It is offered, and it says it in the covenant of his word. Amen. And eternal life, I didn't make that up. It's offered in the covenant of his word. His covenant is well beyond any type of contract. Contracts are broke all the time. But his covenant in blood, because I believe, is what justifies me, just like when Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's the same thing for me in this new covenant. Aren't you glad you're walking in covenant with him? Well, we have to know the truths of that covenant to access them. We have to know what they are. We can't allow the world or the devil to convince us, sorry, they don't belong to you. Sorry, that's too good to be true. No, they are true. The good news is almost too good to even believe, right? That good news of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? For it's the good news, it's the power of the gospel that changes me. There's a powerful, give me a few more minutes if you don't mind. God displayed his covenant, his coming covenant, to the children of Israel in the first three chapters of Hosea. If there was any prophet that I would not want to be in the Old Testament, it would be Hosea. And you're going to know why in just a second. You got to get a drink of water before reading this one. Woo! God displays his covenant to the children of Israel. It's a shadow of the covenant that we now live in. Both the Jews who come through Christ and the Gentiles that come through that same Jesus. Hosea 3, 1 through 3 says, then the Lord, or I think this is actually verse 2. Hosea 1, verse 2 and 3 says, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take for yourself a wife inclined to infidelity. Yeah. And children of infidelity. For the land commits flagrant infidelity, abandoning the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. So she bore him some children. He married her. Hosea marries Gomer, and she conceived some children. Then she decides, she says, you know what, I prefer prostitution. I prefer to sleep with others. Hosea, I'm bored with you. We've had a couple of children. It's been great, but I'm going back to my old lifestyle. Today could be somebody who loves the Lord and has maybe felt like they've disappointed the Lord. And so they just go back. Or they feel like, I just can't measure up. So even though I love the Lord, I'll never have any confidence because of my mistakes or the things that have happened. And so this Gomer that we're talking about, he's talking about the church. He's talking about people. He's talking about people's inclination to go back to the world. He's talking about the inclination of people to do their own thing. He's talking about covenant. So in this scenario where the Lord says to Hosea to marry Gomer, he's saying, enter into covenant with her as your wife. And you know she's not going to stay faithful. But I'm going to tell you right now, Hosea, I think she's not going to remain faithful to you. But marry her anyway, because I want to show through the written word, even thousands of years later, what my heart is towards people. Even this very morning. So Hosea 3, 1, 3, this happens. So she goes away. She gets involved in prostitution. She gets herself in some trouble. She sells herself as a slave. There's no hope for her now. She's still married to Hosea legally, but she's been sold to somebody else. She sold herself. And it's like you and I, we have been sold. From the time we were born, we were sold to sin. There was no hope for us to, we could try to be good. We could do good things as a person, but we could never meet the holy expectation of a holy God and holy Father. And so he marries her and he goes into covenant. And then Hosea 3, verses 1 and 3. Then the Lord said to me, this is Hosea, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband. He still loved her. It's just like you and I. God today still loves us. Every day, because we're in covenant with him through the Holy Spirit, he still loves us. He's still married to us. He's still for you. He's still crazy about you, regardless of what's going on in your life, because he's made a covenant with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, how he loves you and I. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon, then the Lord said to him, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet is committing adultery, as the Lord loves the sons of Israel. You and I today, sons and daughters, in joint with by faith with Israel. We're children of Israel. We're saints. We're children of Abraham today, this morning. So what did he do? Well, it says, yet is committing adultery as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. Well, that was part of a worship of another god. But even though they're worshiping other gods, he's saying, I still love them. Amen. Verse 2. So I purchased her. This is Hosea. So I purchased her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethech of barley. Then I said to her, you shall live with me for many days. You shall not play the prostitute, nor shall you have another man. So I will also be towards you. God's love towards his church, towards his people, even knowing when he saved us and we enter into covenant with him, even in advance when he knows all the mistakes, all the struggles we made, he chooses to remain in covenant with us. Religion says that he doesn't, but I'm telling you, by the Holy Spirit, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, he remains in covenant with you. He loves you. You're always going to be justified freely by his grace through faith. We need to, once again, as a church in America, start to say, Lord, I belong to you. As many people I believe that are God is in covenant with is going to start calling home. People that have felt like I don't measure up, it's too late. You don't know what's happened in the past. You don't know what I've messed up or what I've done. God knows all of it, but I'm telling you, he's still in covenant with you. He still loves you. He's never left you nor forsaken you. Contracts can be broken, but I'm telling you, covenants, maybe in the natural realm, in the human realm, they're broken, but in God's realm, they're never broken. He's never broken his covenant with Israel. And in this new covenant that I live in, you I live in, he's never broken his covenant with me. Do you agree with that this morning? So what does the Holy Spirit do? What did the Holy Spirit come to do? I love Isaiah 61, 1 and 3. You know this, but let this be a reminder of what the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ is doing on the earth today. This Jesus read this in the temple. And Jesus was talking about his spirit being, he says, the things that I do, you'll do also and greater things. So this is you and I, what we walk in and what he's done inside of us. The Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me. Amen. Because the Lord anointed me. We talked about, are you anointed? That God anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted, the Holy Spirit, through the oil, that anointing in you, can heal that and bind that up. He can do that. He will do that. If you need that, let him do that. To proclaim release to captives, amen? And freedom to prisoners. Were we talking about actual jail cells? No, he's talking about being bound to sin, being bound to addiction. The Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ breaks those things through the Spirit of truth. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners. Amen. How many people we have that are freed here? To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. He made an open spectacle of the enemy. He's already destroyed the enemy if we'll realize our covenant power in him, the strength we have to overcome the enemy in our lives. Amen. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Doesn't that sound good? The cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. As the worship team comes, the number 6 was that the Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit has come to do, right there to that we would walk in his strength. You've heard me say this, and I like to say this, God has not called us to cope, he's called us to conquer. How many conquerors we have in here today? You know, the world out there needs to see conquerors. Not some religious thing where we show them, or they need to see it in our lives. They'll see it on your face. The Spirit of God will, it's noticed by others. To some, it'll drive them away. To others, it'll bring them closer. Can we stand up, if you will? You guys still awake out there? Are you awake? Are you walking in? Are you walking in? No, are you walking in covenant with Him? Are you walking? Can we, if you feel comfortable, can we raise our hands if you're comfortable? You don't have to. But say, Lord, thank you. I walk in covenant with you. Lord, that you'll never leave me or forsake me. Because you made that covenant, Lord, I don't have to worry. What you have to do is believe, saying, Lord, I believe in that covenant. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit living and walking in me. We'll talk about some of the function of the Holy Spirit, but we have to know the foundation. We have to be walking in the truth. We have to be walking in who He's made us and say, Lord, I thank you for that covenant, Lord. I just remind myself this morning that I am walking in covenant with you. Hallelujah. Lord, I know that in you that, Lord, I'm protected from the wiles of the enemy. Lord, I know that from the promises of God, those things concerning me with my family and other situations, that you will turn that around. Even when it doesn't look like it, you'll turn it around. I'm telling you, if you'll trust Him and believe the truth, I'm not saying it'll happen tomorrow, next week. I don't know the time frame of things that you've been hoping and praying for that you felt God has given you as a promise. But if you're walking in covenant with Him, I'm telling you, it'll come about in Jesus' name. Jesus. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, that every lying voice of the enemy, Father, that is contrary to the covenant of God, will be broken over our lives in Jesus' name. And Father, we declare the joy of the Lord. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. God, walking with God results in His kindness, His joy, His peace, His strength, His goodness, taking broken things and putting them back together. That's what following Christ is about. It's not about following a list of ordinations in religion. No, that's not what it's about. It's about walking in covenant with a God who loves you. So, Father, we thank you for that today. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit revealing truth. I don't know about you, but I want more and more truth. I want Him to reveal more and more truth. I want Him to reveal more and more of who He is in my life. I want those things that continue or have been a hang up, Father, that have been a hang up for years or decades, to finally be broken off in Jesus' name. We don't have to walk in those things. We don't have to walk in the lies of the enemy. We can walk in His joy. We don't have to walk in depression. How do I know? Because He did it in my life just like many of you. I don't walk in depression. Am I perfect? No. But I know from the truth He's broken that sorrowful, depressing spirit off of my life in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for doing that to your people today. Father, we receive of that. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for joy. I pray that even when we wake up tomorrow, Father, just the first thing that comes to our mind is, I'm walking in covenant. I'm walking in covenant. There's going to be a few that'll come up as we pray. And if you need prayer, if you need prayer to commit your life to Christ and what that means, please come up here and let us pray for you. If you have another situation that you just need us to agree with you in prayer, let us agree with you in prayer. Amen. But this is the simple truth. This is how it happens. You just say, Lord, I believe the truth. And just believing the truth will change some circumstances, will change your mindset. Believing the truth will set you free by the power of the Holy Spirit in certain areas of our lives. You love Him today? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We ask as we go today that we thank you for you being with us and strengthening us in our body, healing in our bodies for those who need healing in their bodies in Jesus' name. We thank you for it today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, glad you came to church. Hallelujah.